السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. As we have heard many a time that this kind of a majlis, this majlis is for our islah, our reformation. So when we sit in a majlis for islah, so we must sit with that niyat, sit with that intention that I wish to reform myself. And we must actually make dua to Allah Ta'ala that, Ya Allah, whatever shortcomings I have in me, allow for that to be spoken about. Because I want to change myself, I want to put myself right. So if my shortcomings are spoken about, then I will be able to rectify myself. So we must make dua before we sit for a majlis, that Ya Allah, make it such, I am so weak, I can't even identify my own faults. And make it such that my faults are highlighted so that I can rectify. And give me the tawfiq, give me the ability to take lesson. So many times, I mean, in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was no inviter to Allah Ta'ala greater than Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no muslih greater than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But yet, even in his zamana, people heard but never took lesson. One person, he was a hypocrite, he was a munafiq. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was partaking of meals with some sahaba, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, and he also came there, and now he's eating with his left hand. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, you must eat with your right hand. Now who is telling him? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling him. But he is arguing. He said, no, I can't eat with my right hand. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that you won't be able to. So it is mentioned in the riwayat that Allah Ta'ala paralyzed his hand. He could never pick his hand up to his mouth ever again. But so many incidents, so many times Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself spoke and people didn't take the lesson. So we must make dua to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala allow for us to take the lesson. Otherwise, sometime, if we can't see our fault, right, we'll keep blaming everybody else. We keep blaming everybody else. We feel sorry for ourselves. We don't realize that I'm the thorn. I'm the thorn. I'm the one causing the problems. I mean, the whole world can't be wrong. So there was one incident, you know, when one person is driving, and he's driving on the oncoming lane. So he was a driver, he was working as a driver. It's a true incident, I'm telling you. Many years ago when the roads were not as busy as today. Maybe if the roads were as busy as today, you would have been in a Kabristan, bichara. So he was working as a driver and he was driving his employer from Johannesburg, coming down to Durban side, coming to Natal. So those days it was a long road. You know? So don't know what happened to him, tired or whatever, he went away on the oncoming. And the employer, he was sleeping. The employer woke up, So he's asking this fellow, hey, how's the journey going? So he's telling him, no, it's going well, but I don't know why these people are all driving on the wrong lane. The employer realized that this fellow is on the wrong lane. He's driving on the wrong lane. But he's blaming everybody else. I don't know why all these people are driving on the wrong lane. Sometimes you get a person, he turns into a one-way. Everybody be hooting at him and giving him bribes and everything. He said, no, what's wrong with you all now? What's your problem? What's wrong with you all? Because we can't see our own fault. That I'm the person at fault. I'm the person causing the problems. But I'll blame everybody else. Because my eyes are blind to my own faults. So we must make dua to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala allow for us to see our faults. And Allah Ta'ala allow for us to take lesson. Otherwise it just becomes like ritualistic. It's like a ritual. You attend the program, you go. Yeah, if there was something funny mentioned in the program, that's the only thing we'll remember. Or if something, you know, some interesting something, that's what we'll remember. Other people's faults we'll remember. If something was spoken, and we know that a certain person has got that shortcoming, so that we'll remember. But our own self, we're not taking lesson. We're not sorting our own self out. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that our weaknesses are highlighted. And when it is highlighted, Allah give us the tawfiq to take lesson, to understand that this is my weakness. And then Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to make islah of it. Make islah of it after that. So we were discussing this ayat-e-kareema, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanus biru. Allah Ta'ala mentions that, O you who have brought iman, adopt sabr. So here we, Azadji Rahmatullah Ali explained that this amanus biru is referring to when a person is going through some personal difficulty. Maybe he's not feeling well, he's got a fever, he suffered some financial loss, somebody passed away in the family. So there he must make sabr, amanus biru. And then Allah Ta'ala says, wasabiru. So wasabiru, this is referring to when somebody else is giving the person taklif. Somebody else is troubling you. The pain that you are experiencing is caused by somebody else. So they in that situation, wasabiru. Wasabiru. Whose phone is that? The phone off there? So wasabiru. So there you need more patience you require. Amanusbiru, the level of patience. You're not feeling well, who are you going to fight with now? But sometimes you get irritable. So now be patient. Make sabr. But the second situation, wasabiru, when somebody is troubling, there now a higher level of tolerance is required. Somebody is intentionally, or even unintentionally or intentionally, giving taklif, troubling. So there, more tolerance is required. And thereafter, Allah Ta'ala says, وَرَابِتُ. So, ribat, وَرَابِتُ. So here, this applies to a national level. When threats are encountered from other countries against one's country, one's country must remain steadfast in protecting its frontiers, in protecting its borders. So how is this done? By having a defense force. Having a defense force. So there should be no weaknesses in the defenses of your borders to allow opposing forces to enter. You can't allow for opposing forces to enter. You have to have strong defenses. So this warabitu is instructing in siyasat, politics. When it's now on a national level, it's affecting the country, affecting on a national level. So this is with regards to politics, siyasat. The protection of one's country's frontiers against invading forces. Right? So, when it comes to isbiru and sabiru, this is either a particular thing which you don't have any control over, or it is some other force trying to invade your personal peace. Somebody is irritating you, somebody is troubling you, is invading your personal peace. Right? And rabitu, this is now something that is going to affect the country on a national level. Right? So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali explains that what is siyasat? What is siyasat? Right? What is politics? Siyasat is to have good planning. To have good planning. The temperament has to operate at such a level of statesmanship that the best methods are adopted to repulse any opposition that may present itself. Right. Now, the opposition can come in different forms. One is, as we said, they can be, invading forces that want to come into the country. The other, they can be from within the country. You can have rebels. You can have people that are being deceitful in government. So, siyasat, politics, generally today when you talk, you say that person is a politician. Now what it means, he's a fraud, he's a liar, he's a gangster, he's everything. That's a politician. Because that's the only thing you hear about in politics. So people say, hey, just stay very far away from politicians. Right? Because the only thing they want to do is steal. The only thing they want to do is corruption. Right? The politicians, I remember when I was in Quwwatul Islam Masjid in Ginger Road. So that Masjid Bichara is one side, you know. People even forget it exists, right? One side. So it was coming towards election time. So one person now who joined some political party, Muslim brother. So he came to the masjid. Now in Ginger Road, Quwwatul Islam Masjid, when you see a new face, it's like, hey, Eid came away. Or an extra Muslim Eid. Like, you know. Those days, half a dozen musallis there, hardly anybody coming there to the masjid. So if one extra person came away, he's like, you know what, you've got a big jamaat today, you know. So any new face there, you'll notice it. So the new face came, plus after that he's still waiting, not even in a rush to go anywhere. So then he came with one person from the locality. He says, no, Mahana, we want to have a program in the masjid. So, all of a sudden, you want to have a program in the masjid? What program? We just want to explain to the people that if we are voted in now, what we'll do for the community. So that's the only time they look for the communities, when they require the votes. Other than that, they don't worry about the communities. So that's politicians. Illa mashallah, they may be one, two. The one must be in the Kabristan. The other one may be still around or something, I don't know. But one, two may be honest and doing their work properly. But majority, there's just corruption. Majority is corruption. So when we talk about politics, and that's what comes to our mind. Corruption, lies, fraud, deceit, stealing, tender benders. No. When we were young, Allah maaf kare the time, but what we knew. So, they used to go to eat in Wumpi in those days, in Durban, you know. Go to, now we used to come from Ladysmith, come all the way to Durban, it's like you cross country, you know, with the parents. You're young. So when you go to eat, I think that was maybe one of the very few halal places that you could eat in Durban. There were a couple other places, but they're one of the few halal places. So you go to eat in Wumpi. So there was one thing called a Benjamin Bender. I remember that. Benjamin Bender. It was a Vienna, you know. Vienna and chips, but they gave it one fancy name. Benjamin Bender. So today you get tender benders, not Benjamin benders, you get tender benders, and I don't know what corruption is taking place. So then people feel that this politics got nothing to do with Islam, because it's all fraud and lies. But this is very far from the truth. The politicians have corrupted the politics. Otherwise, politics is part and parcel of our deen. Part and parcel of our deen. Gee. So siyasat is not the deceit and the fraud implied by the word today. This is why we say, this is Hazrat Ji Rahmatullahi's words, not my words. I didn't plan to have this majlis before the elections and all that. Now this majlis, as we're going along now this came. That there is no shariat which does not include siyasat. There's no shariat which does not include politics. Right? And there is no politics which does not fall within the ambit of the shariat. The politics will be governed by the shariat. It's not like in this era, the constitution of the country reigns supreme. No. The shariat reigns supreme. Whatever laws want to be made in the country, if it's a Muslim country, then the laws have to be within the ambit of the shariat. Gee. So Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali says, remember the above very well. You find people saying, what connection is there between the shariat and siyasat? The two are independent. The politicians say that the sharia should not intrude into siyasat, into politics. This view was expressed to me personally, Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali is saying, that this view was expressed to me personally by the principal of a major college in Bangalore during a conversation we were having. I had been listening silently to him, but when he expressed the view that politics is independent of the shariat, then I spoke out. I told him, this is not the case. I explained, there is no such thing as a sharia if it does not include politics. Because our shariat is perfect. Our shariat is complete. So if we have to take over a country, how are we going to run the country if there's no direction from the sharia? So we will get our politics, our administration, everything from the sharia. Every aspect of siyasat falls under the sharia. Siyasat, politics is an important branch of the sharia. So we must remember this, but not this, what's happening today in the world. Gee. So coming back to our theme, Hazrat Ji Rahmatullahi mentions that our theme of this majlis is mu'asharat, social conduct, social interactions with people. Right? Because we have to interact, we have to live with people, we have to interact with people. Right? We have to live a life of ease and comfort with one another. Right? And in that life of ours, I must not be a source of taklif to anybody. I mentioned this, I don't know whether it was here or last week or when, that a person gets married. He gets married. So when he gets married now, so he has brought a wife into his life. Right? So now he has to consider that wife that he brought into his life. Now he will have all other commitments. He'll have his business, he'll have his children, he'll have his problems, his worries, his family, her family, everything. But if he's a man, he would have to live his life in such a way that he takes all of this into consideration. Now if he is a selfish person, right, then he won't have any balance. Right? On the one hand now, no, everything is only his mother now. Everything is only his mother. At the expense of his wife's rights. So that is incorrect. That is incorrect. On the other hand, you get a person now, everything is only his wife. At the expense of his mother's rights. And that too is incorrect. Then you will get a father sometime, no, everything is only his children. Right? So everything he's doing for the children. But then, he's not worried about the wife. So that too is no good. And vice versa. So the person will have to look at everybody's hukuk and run his home in such a way that everybody is comfortable, everybody is happy. What's the sense? Our Hazrat Abdul Haq Magda Sahib, he always mentions this, that she cooked the food, you're happy to eat the food. You're eating happily, but she's drinking her tears. She's drinking her tears. Now what kind of a home is that now? You eating nicely, you got full, right, I'm going to play paddle now. She's telling you don't go, you throw a tantrum, you know, I've got a lot of stress, man, I have to go, man, you know. I'm not like living in a jail, yeah. You throw a tantrum there and you're gone. Now you've gone nicely with your friends. Whatever calories you burnt out on the pot, you pack it up again before you come home. Go to all these paddle places, then they got eating place connected to it. Now whether she is happy about it, whether she's not happy about it, can't be bothered. Can't be bothered. That's my life now. What you short of? That's the only thing. So what you short of? But what's the sense if there's unhappiness now? So that shows that this man in that house, he doesn't know how to live his life. If he's making one party happy, either that party is himself and all the other parties are grieving. He's making the children happy at the wife's expense, making the wife happy at the parents' expense, making the parents happy at the wife's expense. So he doesn't know how to live his life. He hasn't learned how to live his life. The mu'asharat is not right. Then you get some people, their business and their job becomes their God. Their job, they sometime in a corporate or whatever. So that becomes now, the main thing in their life is that job now. So even if there is a family obligation, but a client has invited me for something, it's not necessary, not for us, for me to attend there, but a client has invited me. Now that's a big client of mine, right? Big client of mine. So the client has invited me for some social function or something. But this side there is a family obligation. No, yeah, I have to go. My client that now have to go. So you start worshipping the client, start worshipping the job. You don't have a balance. Don't have a balance. I explained to the students also before the holiday that you are in madrasa. So you are studying, right? One person was telling me that they went to the hospital. I'm just digressing a little bit. They went to the hospital. And now in the hospital, in the government hospital, sometimes you wait very long, you know, wait very long to get your file, then you have to go there to the clinic, then you wait in another queue. It's not like in the private sector. So there was a government hospital, now this person sitting there, so an elderly man sitting next to the person, so this elderly person now, he starts pouring his heart out, you know, talking about his life and whatever. So in there, this elderly man, he is explaining that he's got a son, and whatever he's explaining about the, and then he's explaining the son wanted to study and whatever, but the difficulties that the father had to undergo, right, the difficulties that the father had to bear in order for the son to study. Now the son may be qualified, maybe he's working somewhere, he got his wife, he got his children, he's living his life. But that father's efforts or that mother's efforts, that's not recognized by the child. The child feels that I attained everything, I studied, I got, came right in the exams, I got the high marks, I'm working in this corporate sector, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. The parents now, they may just sit down there in the house. They are old now. They just sit down there and carry on. But he doesn't realize that in order for you to study, the parents were sitting in the house. They were sacrificing, no, we won't go anywhere, we'll save the money, send the money for him. He needs that new textbooks now. We won't go anywhere, just send that money. We won't buy anything. We'll sacrifice this, we'll sacrifice that. Let him study. He mustn't have any worry. But the children don't recognize that. So that the children, what I was explaining to the students is, now you're getting a holiday. Now you're planning from before the holiday. I'm going away in Jamaat, I'm going by my sheikh, I'm going to do this, I'm going with my friends there, I'm going to do that. Part of all your planning, did you include that no, 1 week is exclusive just for my parents. 1 week is exclusive just for my parents. That's not part of the agenda, not part of the plan. Everything else is part of the plan. The parents are not part of the plan. Whereas Allah Ta'ala, after instructing us to worship Him, and immediately after that, Allah Ta'ala is telling us to be good to our parents. Be good to our parents. So this mu'asharat is a very, very important thing. As a Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, he mentions that when it comes to other branches of deen, comes to our ibadat, comes to imaniyat, you know, your aqaid, etc. So that we will find that bayans are given on that, kitabs are written on that. When it comes to ibadat, children are taught that from small now. Iman, aqaid, then taharat, salah, zakat, hajj, sawm, all that is taught. And then if a person studies a little bit more, he will be taught a little bit about his muamalat, his business, how to conduct your business, etc. But this aspect of muasharat, this is something that is not really spoken about. It's not really spoken about. The only time we worry about it is when I am troubled. Then when I'm feeling the pain, people got no brains, man. You see, if for example, there's some non-Muslim person, right, in the locality. Now they're having some party or something. Saturday night, they're having one. December time now, they're having one party. Now I can't fall off to sleep. They're making big noise there. Party is on, I can't fall off to sleep. So then I will be able to recognize the din that they are causing, right? I will recognize it. What's wrong with these people? So late now, it's past 10 o'clock, it's gone almost midnight now. So loud music they're playing here, blocking the street and making noise. But when I come into the masjid, and I'm raising my voice, I'm talking. Maybe I'm not in the masjid proper, I'm in the back there somewhere. But I'm raising my voice and talking. I'm enjoying my conversation. Right? Other people are trying to concentrate in their salah. One person got mixed up now which rakat he's in. So that taklif that I'm causing to them, I don't even recognize it. I don't even recognize it. And if you get one person who's a little bit bold, you know, and he may turn around and say to that crowd, "Bhai, you know what, just tone it down a bit." Now, that can become a big problem now. That can become a big argument, can become a big problem. So the only time we worry about the muasharat is when we are being inconvenienced. But when we inconveniencing others, we don't recognize it. As long as I'm having fun, I'm okay. How I'm inconveniencing the next person, I'm not bothered. So it shouldn't be like that. So inshallah we will continue with this discussion. Azji Rahmatullahi now speaks about the hukuk of different people, different categories of people, their rights. So we will discuss that, inshallah. The other day I read something. Can't remember exactly how it went. But it was talking about the parents, you know. Parents that you'll only get one set of parents. Children you can have many. A lady got a husband, he divorces her or he passes away, she get another husband too. No problem. A man got a wife, he can get another wife too. But parents you can't replace. Parents you only got one set. You got one mother, one father. Finish. They are gone, there's no replacement. You can't replace them. So make qadr of the parents while you can. The students of deen, when this is spoken about, then shaitan comes very quickly. You speak about parents to students of deen, then shaitan comes very quickly. He starts making waswasa in the majlis. See, bhai, you should be rethinking your position now. Father is not well. Father is aging. You shouldn't be studying. You should be making your father's khidmat. Your mother needs the help now. You need to go help your mother. That is shaitani waswasa. You must ask your parents. Now, if they tell you that, no, bachcho, I need the help, come home. That's a different story. But if they telling you, no, I want you to study, then that is the khidmat you're making for them. That is the khidmat you're making for them. Our Hazrat Mayus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when Hazrat now came to Durban and he got involved now, different works of deen, he was in the Jamiat and Madrasa and Masjid Imamat and so much of works coming on his shoulders. So then his mother told him, Allah Ta'ala fill all their kubur with noor. His mother told him that I excuse you from the rights that I have over you. I sacrifice you for deen. You just concentrate on making khidmat of deen. Don't worry about the rights that I have over you. So your parents, if they never wanted that for you, then you wouldn't have been here. So don't let shaitan come and make that waswasa. The khidmat that you're making for your parents, nobody can make that khidmat. But when you go home in the weekend, when you go home in the holiday, then you must make that khidmat also. Physical khidmat, make that khidmat of the parents also. And it's not only for students, even the day we become parents too. We may even become grandparents, but we are still the children of our parents. We remain the children of our parents. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. We're coming closer to the date for the ijtima also. Make a lot of dua for the ijtima. I got happy. The students are asking, some of them who stay in the weekend, I want to hear from those who go home in the weekend. Those who stay in the weekend, they say, no, one of them being ijtima site, going to help. So either they really want to go to help, or it's outing, instead of sitting here in madrasa, go to the ijtima site, it's more exciting than sitting here. But I want to hear from those students who normally go home in the weekend. And they say, no, I'm not going home this weekend, I'm going ijtima site to go and help. Allah Ta'ala accept everybody's khidmat. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله.